Your development program is your larger, your height. If your maintenance program is your white line, because the length of the maintenance program is basically summed up by the statement, what the hell were they thinking? That is literally the job of the maintenance program, to work that out, yes. No, I don't think so. I think that if that's the standard code practice that people use in your organisation, and whenever you see one of those, you know immediately what's going on. And here I'm testing a series of alternatives, how to use a series of values that is attached to a variable. But it is all a matter of habit. If you don't like that habit, I'm totally happy for you to hate that. You know, give me that book and I'll get that page out for you. Well, actually, I think it's more obvious than anything else, especially for the client that often says, well, it's cut the corner at the end. I think tables are very obvious. But I'm prepared to, you know, fight to the death your right to disagree with me. The point about documentation, though, is for every 1 minute you spend as a development program, you spend 10 to 100 minutes as a maintenance program of that same code. Even if you manage to sort of throw it onto someone else pretty soon. Okay? You're both, so you just have to do it. Now, you don't have to write a lot of documentation, internal documentation, that is. If you use some of the techniques that I'm talking about, maybe not the tabular ternary, if that really the subject is. But most of the things, like using name templates for variables and so forth, gives you a clean way of writing code that's actually readable and then it doesn't require to be documented. The other advantage of having self-documenting code, of course, is that theoretically at least never becomes disconnected, unsynchronized with the actual code. How many of you ever come across a comment that didn't actually comment what was going on? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, rhythm wall. Yeah, right. Okay, so that's job security. The point being that you can avoid that by writing code that tells you itself what's going on without a need for a comment, then you're ahead of the game. So, the way to do this, the problem I think that most developers have with writing documentation is the same that most authors have with writing a book or writing a paper or writing a report or something like that. What do you always start with? You start with a blank page. You start with that word processor or you get that thing and there's nothing there. And you just know it's going to be hell. So if you have something like a template for the pod that you need to write, not only do you get consistent pod in all of your applications and all of your modules, but you no longer have a blank page. And you get to cut and paste. Now, in terms of running code, I will not ever allow you to cut and paste. I don't talk about this particular next version of the course, but I have a rule that says, thou shalt not cut and paste. You're allowed to cut, you're just not allowed to paste. Okay, you cut it and you're about to paste it, and you have to paste it into a subroutine instead. And in place you're allowed to paste it. If you cut and paste the subroutine, you're allowed to put that anywhere else, you've got to put it into a module. That's my rule for that. Okay? But with this, I will let you cut and paste. You get your cut and paste fixed by having some document that you start with that is kind of like a form. Okay? Now remember, we enjoy filling out forms, but it's a heck of a lot easier than inventing a form. How many people have ever tried to invent a form, or worse still, try to use a form that some of you know invented? Like your boss. We're going to have a simple little, yeah, right. Okay, so I like to have one template for my module and another for my application. Now, you can use the one produced by H2XS minus X or XUtil module maker, or what's the new one, Andy?
Module starter.
There are ones out there, and they may work for you fine. As far as I'm concerned, none of them work for me yet. I can't say anything about it because I haven't seen it yet. But for me, it's much easier just to have one that I know has all the stuff that I'm interested in. And these are just the top level headings, but I've already got a lot of errors done. The license that I use is the same every time. If you're in an organisation, your license will be the same every time. So why write it every time and run the risk of not writing it correctly every time? Put it in a template like this, you never have to think about it again. Okay? The author will probably be the same in many cases. Either it will be you individually or it will be your team. Or the poor fool that you designated to be the named author of this. Okay. But the limitations of these to start with, none are known. But now I don't have to think, what should I document? What should I write? I now know the sections that I have to fill in. And I'll know when the documentation is done because all the sections will be filled in. That's not quite true. I'll know when I can ship the documentation. May not be done yet. For application, there are slightly fewer things to deal with because you don't have to sit with as much of the interface. You don't have to document each of the different subroutines that are involved. But it's the same kind of thing. That's my core. Then I have a whole lot of other things that I sometimes add in, especially the modules. So let me talk about some of these for a minute. Examples. Nothing is better when you come across a module than to get some extensive examples to try or to look at. Some people learn really well from written descriptions. Other people, that's useless to them. What's really handy is to see it in actual usage. Try and make sure that the examples you put in the code work. That's helpful. That's kind of more difficult than you might think because, of course, every time you change the code, you've got to go and recheck the example. Okay. And short intelligence is a module called test inline that can make that happen for you automatically. Basically, sends it to Schwern and he says it for you. Is that not true? Apparently not. Frequently asked questions and common usage mistakes. This is purely self-defensive. It will not stop people sending you stupid questions, but it will mean that you can reply to them very much more briefly. Just use four letters. Maybe RTFM and then a section number. You're feeling in a good mood that day. Okay. And also, one of the hassles with the CPAN as such, and we hope that people will release modules on the CPAN, and even within an organisation, one of the problems is you'll often have many modules whose functionality overlaps in some way. And one of the particular problems as well is it's difficult to know which one. So if you know of other modules that do a similar sort of thing to yours, that might be a good alternative, then it's just community minded to do that. Disclaimer of warranty is critically important in these kind of things. Your organisation probably has a boilerplate one of these. You need to put it in. Other kinds of things. One of the most useful things that I ever found to put in any module was an acknowledgement section. Whenever someone sends me a patch, I thank them for it. That encourages people to send you patches because they see their name in print. People are easy that way. Okay? But just remember, someone has saved you a week of work tracking down this problem, giving you a fix. Good idea to thank them. Maybe they'll do it again. Maybe they'll even take the module off your hand. And there is nothing better than that in the whole world. Okay, those of you who have sons or daughters, okay, the day that they get married and someone takes them off your hand, you'll just have an acknowledgement section. In fact, this will be your talk at the wedding. It will just be, you know. Okay. Now, if you're going to write comments, oh, a question, yes, please. Yes. I don't recommend all of those at once. The question was, where should you put the pod? I'm not sure that I have it in the notes on the slides here, but there is a very clear answer to that. The pod should go after the number one story, double after the underscore. It should go right at the bottom.
Why?
Because then the parser doesn't have to pass its way all through that to find it.
It
doesn't matter where you put it, it doesn't get updated anyway. If you refer to it, I will. If you intersperse it, it doesn't get updated anyway, it's just harder to find. Now, this is my opinion. I will never, ever intersperse Oz with code. The only reason I won't do that is that the natural order for the documentation of something is not the same as the natural order for laying out the code. And if you want to intersperse them, then you have two choices. Either you change the order of the code so that the pod works, or use pod as its reason. Simple as that. Okay. If you're talking about comments, then I kind of like filling in forms again. I know that it looks like crap whenever you look at code. I don't care. At least that looks like crap that has all the necessary information where I can find it. That to me is critical. Question? No. When I'm talking about pod, I'm talking about external documentation. Right? When I'm talking about comments, I'm talking about external documentation, not being what each part does internally. Oh, internal documentation explains what the subroutine does to do its job. External documentation tells you what the subroutine's job is. Return to Azure default is also external documentation, but it's also internal documentation, so you can check that it actually does return to Azure default. If I don't know that's what it's supposed to do, I've got like five returns within it, I don't know that that's where it comes from, what it's going to do. Not turning. Okay, so look, I can only put a certain amount on place, alright? Now, I don't care if you use a scheme like this, but you have to have a scheme. I care if you just want to take all the information that's necessary and put it in some sort of paragraph. That paragraph then has to be standard. You see it every time. What's important here when you're doing best practice is to make the code, to make the comments, to make the documentation consistent. So documentation is the derivative, especially the external documentation that you're putting in pods. It's critically important that that not be well written. In the sense of, wow, this novel is well written. It's captivated and helpful. Okay? It has to be written in a boring, plain, easy to understand style. That's another reason people don't like to do it. Okay? It takes a special kind of creativity to be uncreative when you write. You've got to do it. If you have larger part of commenting that you need. You need to discuss something between the developers. And I like to use the equal for section. Now this is pod, which I normally reserve for external documentation, but for sections don't come out. So, for example, if I made some sort of decision about the implementation of a particular part of code, and if that decision was unusual or went against the coding guidelines, or went against what we did in the initial design document, then I want to know about it. I want to know why I chose that. Because if I don't have that, then someone will come along and say, oh, we can improve this by doing this. Well, I want to know, so I tested this, and no, it didn't. Before we went with this thing. Likewise for possible improvement. Sometimes you know something would be better if only you had time, because in a real world environment, you never have time. In that case, I like to say, well, this would be an improvement if there were time to do it. So when someone does have time, then that's somewhere they can look. If some part of the problem, some part of the domain, forces you to do something unusual or allows you to do some optimization that normally wouldn't work, it's useful to encode that. Because in 6 months' time, when someone comes back and says, why the heck does this work, who doesn't know the domain, then they'll understand. This one, I'm kind of iffy about. If you think that this might be a good optimization, then you can suggest to do it, but try and be a little bit hedging about the language you use. Because you don't know it. Until you do it, you don't know it. If you have to do workarounds, the Perl does have bugs in it. If something wasn't working, and it forced you to do something else, There was a particular bug in certain versions of Perl where the $1, $2, and $x variables didn't kind of hold their values the right way unless you stringified them. Yeah, that was nasty. So, but if someone comes across, you know, double quote, $1, double quote, they're going to think you're an idiot. Now, if you're not an idiot and you did that because you knew about this, then it might be a good idea to mention that. So they don't change it back and change it to code that looks better, but like, I don't know if it's going to be. I believe so. Okay, most importantly, when you're trying to work out what should have been commented but wasn't, look for the things that you had trouble with. If it tricked you or puzzled you or you had to stop and think about it once, next time you come back, in 6 months' time, you'll have to stop and think about it again. So comments are love messages that you send to your future self. I love you, future self, and therefore I will tell you this now. And you will be grateful. You will thank your earlier, younger, smarter self. So if you're developing something and there was some subtle bug, comment that back, because someone will definitely come back and try and change the code back that way, that was broken. Or if you're maintaining it and you come across code that you didn't understand, mark it. So you see something like this, and you think, what the heck's going on there? And after 5 or 10 minutes you work it out, and you write a comment. Hey, this thing here and this thing here, this is not a map block. It's a map expression. An expression is a constructor or a hash. So this takes these flags and turns them into a list of hashes. But of course, if you look at that, a cursory glance at it, you could easily miss what was going on. So we have a big comment here that points out the super things and say, that's what I want. Now, of course, the other thing about putting a comment like that in is that's probably a good indication that you might want to rewrite the code. So it doesn't do that. My rule of thumb about map blocks and grep blocks and every other kind of block is always, always give them an actual block. Always have the curly braces. Even if you end up with something that looks a bit weird here, at least now it is weird in the way that people were expecting to be weird. So the outer thing is a block, and if you have to comment it, then the comment will just be map block returns hash rec. And from that comment you can work out pretty easily what's going on. Okay, so that's our break, and we'll come back.